Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, have you ever found yourself with a mysterious soggy bottom? I think I'll just leave that question hang there for a second while you all wonder what it is I'm talking about. Or a sunken sponge, or what about a cake that's burnt and smoking on top but raw in the middle? All of the above are common mistakes that bakers make. But fear not, because joining me in studio to go through the common mistake bakers can fall victim to and how to avoid or fix them is Anne-Marie Dunn, who teaches bakery at the School of Culinary Arts and Food Technology at the Technological University of Dublin. Cahill Brewer Street was much easier, wasn't it, Anne-Marie?
It was a simple term, yeah. CBS, everybody knew where
everybody
it was.
Everybody knew, but you Calibre are Street. Now the teacher of bakery at the School of Culinary Arts and Food Technology at the Technological University of Dublin. Okay, let us start with meringues, as you have brought in some lovely pavlova there. It is still the subject of lore in the Boucher Hayes household, how bad Dad is at this and how long he will keep on whipping away when everybody else with any sense would have given up all hope of ever getting the egg whites to rise. What am I doing wrong? What is everybody doing wrong when they have a go at this?
I think the fundamental point, the main mistake people make, the one thing with meringues and anything where you're whipping up eggs at all, is have all of your utensils grease-free. That's number one rule. So make sure you scald out your bowl. If you've whipped cream earlier in a bowl, make sure it's scalded out well with hot, soapy water, clean and dry. And that's number one step success.
The chemistry there any fat...
Any fat will break down the protein of egg white.
Really?
Okay. So that is usually the number one fault. The second most common fault is...
You're trying to tell me that we don't wash our utensils properly.
Well, just to make sure it's grease-free. But as well as that, which people don't realise, there's very small amount of fat in egg yolk. So the next most common mistake is when they're separating the eggs.
Okay.
So I always use 3 bowls when I'm separating eggs.
Three?
Yes. I always will have a collection bowl. Because if your recipe requires 4 or 6 egg whites, it's usually the 6th one that will crack and the little bit of egg yolk will escape into your 5 other egg whites. And
so that
everybody
6th egg
does,
is a write-off as far as you're concerned.
So that's write-off. So if you do it in separate bowls, you have a collection bowl for your egg whites. So every time you separate one egg white successfully, you put it into your collection bowl and you put your egg yolks aside.
Okay.
And that way then, if one should crack, you can use your egg for a scrambled egg or something. But what you do not do
is try... stick a teaspoon in to try and take
try
the bit of yolk out.
The little bit of egg yolk out. Because that's where the most common mistake is made. That little bit of egg yolk is enough to break down the protein of the egg white, which will not allow it to trap in the air. And that's the science behind it, that fat will break the protein of the egg white down.
Now, there is another bit of science that you can bring to this, isn't there, with a little bit of lemon juice?
A little bit of lemon juice. So acidifying your egg whites will strengthen the egg whites as well. So that'll allow more air to be trapped in. So with meringue, it's all about getting your volume in. The sugar will stabilise the egg white and that will give the sweetness and also that will eventually make your meringue. If you just whip up egg whites to get air into it, it won't stay stabilised. It'll just be a frothy mass that will break back down into a... into sort of its white itself again if you leave it to one side. But if you add the sugar to it, the sugar sort of liquefies and it holds and stabilises the egg white. But during the whipping stage, that's when the egg white traps in all of that lovely air and it increases in volume hugely and then that stabilises.
If you are, in my opinion, unnecessarily storing your eggs in the fridge, are you on a bit of a hide into nothing with eggs that aren't room temperature?
Always when baking, have your ingredients at room temperature, unless it specifies otherwise. The only other thing I will have at time I will chill things is probably butter for making pastry to try and keep my pastry cool.
Okay. But when would you include milk in that's come out of the fridge?
Not really, because usually milk, when you're adding to it, is such a small amount. You wouldn't keep, because milk obviously will go off. So when it comes to
eggs... Don't go putting milk in your meringues. We're getting a bit confused here.
No. So basically, I always keep my eggs out of the fridge. I never store them in the fridge. I know that's another taboo subject with people. I keep my eggs at room temperature. I probably use them that quickly. They're not hanging around long enough to go off. The other thing is, don't use really fresh eggs. As eggs stale or get a little bit older, they actually become more acidified. So that's why you will find in recipes containing egg white, you might say a pinch of cream of tartar, which is an acid, a little bit of lemon juice or a little bit of vinegar. And that will strengthen the egg white. It will allow it to be more stable when you add the sugar in. It'll hold much better and it'll make a much firmer meringue.
That is very, very interesting. Yeah. So fresh is not and always best.
If you will often find bakers, particularly professional bakers, will often, to ensure that their utensils and their bowls are grease-free, they'll just cut a half a lemon, wipe out their bowl, which will actually cut the grease from the side of the bowl.
Very clever.
So, and then that is actually adding the acid as well to it.
So you have your big bowl of whisked egg whites that you are supremely confident enough to hold upside down and
That's
over
correct.
Your head.
Yes.
Talk to me then about the baking process, because you can go very wrong here too.
And you have to remember that with meringues, you're not baking them, you're actually drying them out. So what you want to do is just to make sure that your egg whites are actually properly cooked. So anything above 70 degrees will actually pasteurise or cook your, stabilise your eggs. So with meringues, the norm is around 120 to 130. If you go a little bit over that, you'll start to colour your meringue. You'll go more a caramelised colour. And if your oven is a little bit too hot, the sugar can actually, any of the undissolved sugar can actually seep out and you'll sort of get it like liquefied on the side if your oven is too hot. So what you want to do is dry out your meringues. The longer they're in the oven, the harder they get. Everybody has their own preference when it comes to meringue. Some like hard meringue, some like soft meringue, some like marshmallowy. Okay. So usually with a pavlova.
You have to explain something to me here now, because you brought in some pavlovas.
Yes.
The thing that
which are different to meringue.
How different?
Because pavlova tends, probably the technical terms of pavlova would be a crispy outer shell with a soft marshmallowy centre, where a meringue can actually be dry and hard right through.
Yeah. But what I'm interested in is how the outside of your pavlova and your meringue remains uncracked.
The secret there is I will never take it out of the oven to cool down. I will turn my oven off. I will leave the door of the oven either a little bit open if you can, but if you have a hinge on your door, I'll actually put my tea towel in the door to stop it fully closing. That allows any moisture.
Hope there aren't any fire safety officers listening to this.
Well, your oven is off.
Okay.
So you allow the moisture, any excess moisture that'll be in within the oven chamber itself to escape out. So it stays nice and crisp on the outside. If you bring it out to a colder or a different temperature, what happens is because the centre of the meringue is still a little bit soft, it will contract and it will crack. So if you leave it in the oven overnight, it will stay much better.
Let's just listen to this now, folks. Do you hear that? That is a perfectly formed pavlova with an absolutely immaculately presented shell. Well done. Now, you find something to talk about there for a very long time while I put a mouthful of this
okay.
into me.
Well, I think...
I'm joking. I want to move on. I am going to appreciate this while you talk to me about eclairs and how badly wrong eclairs can go.
Well, I think people make a choux pastry quite successfully. They get that bit right because there's only four enjoyed, but it's the rushed strawberries and the important thing. They're the first new of the new season rushed strawberries. So
well done.
Enjoy them. The most important thing with the choux pastry is making sure that you bring your fat and your water to a rolling boil. Add in your flour. I find that you should use a strong flour, like of a baker's flour, will be far more successful for making choux because the gluten in it and the protein in it will be a little bit stronger to allow it rise fully in the oven and actually maintain its shape. Once you cook off your flour, it's important that it leaves the side of the saucepan. So you make what's known as a roux. So it must form a ball. So you make sure that all of the gluten is gelatinized, all it has taken up the maximum amount of water, and then you place it into your mixing bowl to add in your egg. Normally I'd allow it cool down for a few minutes and then add in your egg gradually. It should be nice and shiny and silky, and it should still hold its shape. So you're either piping it into little balls for fritterolles or for cream buns, or into finger shape for making eclair.
And is the place that people go wrong how they treat the flour and being a bit too vigorous with it?
No, because you're actually boiling, you're actually gelatinizing the starch of the flour. So you're allowing it take up all of the water that's in your recipe and hold it within the starch of the flour. So the better quality starch, which is normally in a baker's or a strong flour, okay, that's why it's better to use that type of flour. It will also allow you a little bit more egg in there, which will give you greater volume. You have to remember that choux pastry, the science behind it is in the baking. So choux pastry rises on steam pressure because there's so much liquid within the choux pastry itself. It expands as soon as the heat starts to do its work in the oven. It's normally a hot oven of around 200 degrees need minimum for choux pastry. And it's allowing that steam pressure blow up your pastry, and it's almost like blowing up a balloon.
This but is getting perilously close to rocket science here. I need you to be very honest. Be very honest with me about something here. How many times did you make mistakes on the way to learning how to make a perfect eclair?
Probably a half dozen times when
I
was very young.
Don't lose
heart. The biggest mistake people make is opening the oven, allowing the steam out. It's exactly the same as sticking a pin into a blown up balloon. So you have this beautiful blown up creation that's full of steam. And if you haven't allowed the shell dry out enough and for that starch to form that outer hard shell, if you let that steam out, it just collapses into a pancake.
Don't let your curiosity get the better of you.
No, wait its full time, full cooking time before you actually open the oven, and then gradually let the steam out. Open the oven door gently, allows the steam out, and then close the door again. So when the steam has gone out, you allow the outer shell dry out and then take it out and you have no collapsed choux pastry.
Let's move on. How do we make a Swiss roll that doesn't end up cracking when we roll it?
Well, I think the most important thing is when it's normally made using what we'd call an egg sponge or a traditional sponge. So it's whisking up your eggs and your sugar together till they're sort of nice and thick and foamy. Then it's the folding in of the flour is the most important thing. So when you're folding in flour, you gradually cut or fold through. Never, ever, ever add the flour in with your whisk on the machine. Always do it by hand with a wooden spoon, a spatula or a steel spoon. Just fold in your flour. Then as soon as you spread it out onto your Swiss roll tin that's lined with some parchment paper, get it into the oven as soon as possible. It will not hang around.
Okay. So once it's baked, not going to benefit from being left out. Get on with it. Next one. How do I avoid making fruit scones without the fruit all dropping to the bottom of my scone mixture?
Well, normally the scones are firm enough to allow it hold. But the one tip I will always give when using dried fruit, rehydrate it. Wash your fruit the night before you're going to use it. Don't keep it for any longer than, say, a month if you wash it or if you keep it in the fridge. It rehydrates the dried fruit. Dried fruit is dried fruit. It's preserved. So if you just give it a rinse under warm water, allow it dry off, then add it into your mix. It'll be much softer, so it won't be as hard and heavy, particularly for fruit cakes. If your fruit cake mixture is over aerated, so the batter is over aerated, your fruit will sink to the bottom.
Oh,
so it's important that you don't overmix a fruit cake.
Now, we are all over sourdoughs. I think it's time that people got back to making soda bread. But it is tricky to get a properly consistently risen soda bread. What are your top tips here?
My top tips are, I have put up a recipe for an all-in stir and pour mix. Forget about the handing up of a traditional soda bread where you put the cross in the centre. It is a little bit tricky to make a brand soda bread like that. If you want a quick and easy that a child can make, I've put up a recipe. You stir all of the ingredients together in the bowl. You pour it into a greased 2-pan loaf tin into your oven. And after 45 minutes, you have perfect brown bread every time that will be satisfactory. It will last three or four days.
All the time, every time, 100%
of the time. 100%
of the time.
Use a quick and easy recipe. That's what I say. You can, if when you get a little bit better at it, if you're used to handing up or if you're used to what we call chaffing, which is a light moulding technique that's used for making brown bread, albeit that is fine. It's a little bit of a stiffer mix, but it will work as well.
Are we putting all of these links up on our page? We are indeed. Anne-Marie Dunn, thank you very much for joining us with those helpful tips this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.